Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Jumping off in our fourth and final hour of Sports Talk here on WWL, AMFM.com, and the Odyssey app, along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. I'm Christian Garrick, Charlie Long at Master Control, taking your calls on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text lines, and that's where we are headed right now for Viper in New Orleans. Go ahead, Viper. You're on WWL.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's
great
up, Viper?
Great job you guys doing.
All right, Viper.
Hey, man. Great job. Look, hey, Bobby, you may remember me. I'm the guy that told you that I think we made a big mistake getting rid of C. Gardner Johnson.
Yeah, C. D. Deuce. Viper, I remember you said that from the get-go, that it's going to come back to maybe haunt us.
It is, man. He brings that energy. See, when you got a man like him playing that he said it himself before he left, he says he's the best, and nobody gave him that acknowledgement. He is constantly trying to challenge the offense. Bet you don't throw it over here. Man, I want you to throw it over here because he's ready to shine. He's ready to let you know, look, man, you can't teach that, but he brings that energy, man.
No, and he's now bringing it to the Eagles, and the Eagles are considered one of the NFC best now. And you can't coach that. That has to come from within.
Nope.
And, you know, you almost have to have, like, amnesia. It's like, you know, Chauncey Gardner wasn't perfect, but even if he got beat, you can never tell. He wasn't hanging his head like a whoop puppy or something. No, what? He'd bounce back and all of a sudden redeem himself. So if he took the approach, yeah, I might give one up now and then, but I'm going to get two or three back, and I'm going to impact the game that way.
I think it's still too early to definitively say, Viper, the Saints unequivocally did the wrong thing. We don't know yet. But I would agree with the caller earlier that, man, that swagger is a little hard to replace on that defensive side of the football.
Yeah, and I was telling Christian Viper also, because this is exhausting to do. And to not only do your job, but to motivate the team constantly, game in and game out, like with DeMario Davis. You're kind of being a cheerleader, but you also physically got to do stuff, not only emotionally, to get the team fired up. Well, he had his wingman. A lot of times, DeMario Davis, he loved having CeeDee Deuce along his side. Because you know what? Come on, you got to help me, man. Come on, we got to get everybody going. Well, if that guy's not there no more, you might say, well, isn't Marshawn Lattimore, he don't back down. But Marshawn Lattimore is so quiet. He's like shy. He can have that gangster mentality and going up to like, and, you know, shut you down. We've seen Marshawn Lattimore want to fight and all that. But Marshawn Lattimore hates to do it. He don't want to talk to nobody. I mean, so you can't make somebody that they're not. So I don't know who that number two guy is. Now, you know who would have been number two of that? Would be Honey Badger.
Mm-hmm.
Tyrann Mathieu, but he's an older player now. You know what? If you're an older player getting on the younger players and they see you whiff on a tackle, man, you didn't even two-hand touch him. You know, then, that's the thing.
Hard to lead when you're not playing well.
Yes. You have to do it by example, and then you could be vocal. If you're just vocal and you're not backing it up on the field, man, the players just turn you off. They don't even acknowledge you. Like, you're just talking to be talking. So that's why, Chris, I don't know who that, and Pete Werner is a playmaker. Look what he's done at the beginning of this year. Way more productive than if you had Kwon Alexander. I'm just saying, younger, look.
Leads the NFL in tackles.
Leads the NFL in tackles, unassisted total. But Pete Warner is not a DeMario Davis personality. He's just like kind of just a player.
He's not there yet.
He's not there yet to be that vocal leader. Right. That's right.
And he doesn't have enough skins on the wall
yet. Yes. Yeah. He's just glad that I'm getting to play and not hurt.
Pete Warner, same production 4 years from now.
Might be different.
He emerges as a leader on that defense.
Right.
All right. Jake Madison, the Pelicans started training camp. We'll talk a little Pels next here with Jake Madison. This is Sports Talk here on WWL.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Joining us now from Locked On Pelicans is Jake Madison at NOLA. Jake, man, Jake, I heard a report today. Zion was a full participant in practice. No restrictions whatsoever. Man, that's great news to hear.
Now, Jake? The media day in Pelicans training camp when it comes to Zion Williamson, it's only been positive so far. And, you know, he's been cleared since the end of last season, shortly after their playoff run ended. And it sounds like Zion, you know, to use the cliche that all NBA players love in the offseason, has been in the lab. At media day, you could see he physically looks different than he has been before. He's been working out with a personal trainer. He has a personal chef. He's doing all of those things that make him just, you know, a professional player and what you've got to be doing. And, you know, at 22 years old, he's so young, and it seems like the light bulb has kind of come on. Things have clicked for him. He's rediscovered his love and passion for basketball, and I think we're going to see that on the court this coming year. And he played 5-on-5 last night. They say he dominated the game. Multiple guys said that. It's looking good for the Pels right now when it comes to Zion.
Now, Jake, what are your expectations? Obviously, I don't know why. You can maybe break this down better for me. You look at the long schedule, and why does it seem like all NBA teams are – I know we've talked about this with the Pelicans before, that, okay, what are we going to do the first 10 games or the first dozen games? Or are we going to be like 3-8 or, you know, like 3-9 or something? Are we going to have a winning record? Well, why it seems like that the fans, even around here – that if you get off to a fast start, and then you look at strength of schedule and all that, but they're on the bandwagon from the get-go and said, oh, here we go again. And now, you know, like you 1-9 or whatever. Just break that down for the fans.
Yeah, I mean, look, part of it, I think, is the worry that this team has gotten off to poor starts kind of historically the past number of years. We saw them go 1-13 last season. They were 3-16 at one point. You know, it puts you in a hole early on. We've seen this team, you know, going back to when there was Anthony Davis and then the trade for DeMarcus Cousins at midseason was in contention, but due to a slow start they got off to that year, they were just never able to make up ground and get into the postseason and catch the eighth seed in that scenario. I forget if they finished 9th or 10th that year, but they kind of just ran out of time. So I think getting off to a fast start, it feels like you're not behind the eight ball. It feels like you're ahead of schedule. You're not getting off to kind of the same mistakes this team has done before. And when you look at the history of the franchise, you know, in terms of the what you had said, people kind of feeling like we've been here before, this team has only made back-to-back postseasons twice in the history of the franchise. It doesn't inspire a lot of faith that this team is going to come in and make the playoffs again this year. And it's kind of a, you got to show it to me. You've got to prove it. And the Pelicans, every time they've been in that situation, frankly, have failed. This year, I do think it's different. There's more talent on this team. You have Zion, you know, looking like he is right now. Kind of, I've been calling him Zion 2.0 for the way he's rededicated himself and what we're expecting from him. So I think it's different. But given just the slow starts they historically have gotten off to and how that's just kind of put them behind and they're trying to dig out of a hole constantly, I think people want to see them avoid that kind of same fate this year.
Now, Jake, what about look at training camp? Who you think is going to surprise Pelicans fans? So, what player will be like that you're optimistic about that maybe is not a household conversation that is going to contribute from the get-go, maybe sometime during the season?
Yeah, I think you look at second-year player Trey Murphy, former first-round pick for the team after last season. You know, he's a really good three-point shooter, and you saw him get an increased role in the postseason where he shot close to 40%. And with Zion back out there on the court, you need more shooting around him to space the court and to make teams pay when they double-team Zion Williamson. And it seems like Trey Murphy really could be that guy. He's also grown. He's at least 6'10", 6'11", something along those lines this year. He's gotten bigger than he was last season. You know, when you add in that size, that shooting, he seems like a guy that's ready to take a big step forward and be a solid contributor for this Pelicans team. That's kind of the name I think to really watch. With that size and that length that he has, putting him out there on the wing, it allows him to guard multiple positions. This team might struggle at times defensively, so getting a guy like Trey Murphy out there who can kind of shore up some of those gaps I think would be really big. So I would not be shocked if he's a guy who has a very significant rotation role this year.
Now, look at the man in charge, Jake, like David Griffin. When he says that, look, the luxury tax, no, if it comes to case in point, that I don't have a problem dealing with that, and we would do it. Well, what was your take on that with that statement? Because you look, I was reading where you look, the Hornets, which was in New Orleans and Charlotte, they're the only ones that never utilized the luxury tax. Is that correct or what?
You know, I'm not sure if there's any other teams that haven't, but certainly this franchise has not. And it's punitive to small market teams. You know, you pay dollar for dollar for every, you know, buck you go over the tax. That can get higher where at one point you might be paying $5 per dollar spent over. And that's how you end up with a team like the Golden State Warriors, whose payroll ends up getting close to like $1 billion or something along those lines when you factor all of that in. That's easy maybe for a big market team. There are some restraints when it comes to a small market team like the New Orleans Pelicans here. And so I think they're willing to do it if the timing is right. I don't think that's this year. I don't even know if that's necessarily next year. It might depend on how they finish this coming season. But at least the door is open for them to potentially do that. But I think they're looking at themselves being a true title contender, a team that would make the Western Conference Finals. So basically being a Final Four team left in the NBA before they're really going to look at kind of making that sort of decision. And even then, I don't think that window is going to be open for an incredibly long time. But I think it at least is open for a little bit, so they'll be able to take their shot if that kind of situation presents itself. But certainly, you know, if you want to compete and you want to contend in the NBA, you're going to have to spend money. You can't be cheap with it. You're going to need to pay the luxury tax at some point.
Jake, C.J. McCollum signing back with the Pelicans on a 2-year deal. Ever since he came to New Orleans, he's living up to his word. He said that when he got here, he wanted to be a part of this community. Now he's coming back. How big of a signing is that? Our extension is that?
Yeah, it's significant. That keeps him in New Orleans for four more years, including this year and those final 2 years, the extension he signed. That's nowhere close to the maximum amount of money that he could get, and it's a contract that declines in salary. So the first year is a bigger cap hit than the second year, and you don't always see that in the NBA. So to really see him kind of put his money where his mouth is, I think really shows you the buy-in that these guys have on this team. And David Griffin even spoke about that at Media Day. He said, you know, this isn't something that's starting with CJ McCollum. This started with Brandon Ingram. Brandon Ingram signed a 5-year, you know, new contract with the team with no player option. You've then seen guys like Zion Williamson since then this past summer sign his contract extension. Same for CJ McCollum. So this has kind of been their plan to find these guys that are really that are talented and then buying into what they're doing. And with CJ, it's true. This is a guy who in his time in New Orleans basically set career highs across the board. He's been in the league for 10 years, and he's just playing some of his best basketball. His best numbers are being put up. This would be the time to ask for the most money that you can. I don't know if he would ever have more leverage than that or his stats being higher. And he realized what's going on here. He took a somewhat team-friendly deal, only 2 years as opposed to 3 years, which it could have been, which helps them when it comes to the luxury tax, potentially in the salary cap as well. So you're really seeing these players buy in and do what's best for the team, not just themselves.
Now, Jake, I wanted your take on this. I haven't talked to you, so this all came about. And you look at, like, professional owners, whether it's the NFL, NBA, whatever. And it said now it looks like a couple of times this happened in the NBA that almost they can force the owner's hand to sell the team. You look at Daniel Snyder with the Washington football team now, Washington Commanders. It just seems like you can't touch him. And even though there might be wrongdoing in the front office or whatever, a number of things. But what is your take what's come about with Phoenix Suns owner Robert Sarver? We all know what happened to the Clippers owner. Who was
Donald Sterling.
Yeah, Donald Sterling, yeah. And so now you see this with Sarver and the Suns. You don't see it in the NFL, but what is your take on that? Is it all about that the players have, I guess, that much stroke in the NBA, more than the NFL as far as to influence, hey, we need a new owner or what?
No, you know, the Sarver situation and the Donald Sterling one are a little bit different,
okay,
even though you're kind of getting a similar result. You know, when it came to Donald Sterling, Silver banned him for life and then said, you know, if the owners vote and it's 3/4 of the owners, essentially, we can more or less revoke your team from you and force you to sell. And given the things that he said and how public they were and the fact that it was recorded and put out there, you know, they referred to it as a smoking gun at that point, and he just had to go. It basically undermined a lot of the diversity efforts and kind of things that the league wants to stand for. And if you have an owner doing that, it just doesn't work, especially with the players that you have in the NBA. You know, with Sarver, they got lucky, I think, because he decided to sell himself and he realized he kind of built an untenable situation. And the league wasn't going to do what they did with Donald Sterling. They weren't going to put the owners to a vote to see if they wanted to revoke his franchise. And I think they were going to let him keep it and bring it back in a year. And then they finally started to get some pressure from the sponsors. PayPal, who's their jersey patch sponsor, said, we're probably not going to renew. And it sounds like it was about $30 million a year worth of sponsors that were going to back out from the team. And I think that kind of eventually forced Sarver's hand. You know, it's tough. You can't really force guys to sell just for little things. They've got to be big infractions. And in the NBA bylaws, the way it's written, it makes it kind of murky if they even really have the authority to do that, which means you're going to go to a bunch of lawsuits and it's going to be a long drawn out process that no one wants to get involved in. It probably just means the league and probably the NFL needs to have stronger kind of morals clauses in there, that if you're doing things that are, you know, just really downright wrong. And if you look at the report, 60 something pages on what you saw the workplace misconduct from Robert Sarver was, there's no room for that in not just professional sports, but honestly, anywhere. No one should be a boss or an owner if they're treating people, you know, with that degree of like degradation. So I think you need to update morals clauses in things like that to be able to kind of resolve these situations a whole lot quicker, as opposed to letting it be a long drawn out legal battle.
Now, Jay, going back to the Pelicans, you know, we touched on Zion and obviously we saw optimistic with him. Christian brought up CJ McCollum. What are your expectations for B.I., Brandon Ingram, and what he's going to – how his game is progressing, where he's at right now?
Yeah, you know, I think we're going to see – my expectations are about 24 points per game, six assists or so and about seven rebounds. Basically what he's done the past 3 years here in New Orleans, he's been remarkably consistent. The past the first two years he was here, I think it was 23.8 points per game. Last year it was 22.7. His shooting numbers are almost identical. He just is as consistent as they come on a nightly basis, and a guy that leads by example and just goes out and plays hard. And that's what you want to see from him. You want him to really be this leader of the team, more so than Zion Williamson, and he does it. He's going to go out. He's going to play. This is a guy who just loves basketball. Like, wakes up, thinks about basketball, goes to sleep thinking about basketball, and wants to play basketball in the meantime there. You know, he's going to be, you know, potentially the leading scorer for this team. He's a guy that's going to give you consistent numbers that makes it easy to build your roster around, that makes it easy to kind of design your offense and your defense around too, because he brings it on a night-in, night-out basis. So we saw big expectations for him. His numbers are going to be remarkably similar to what they've been the past couple of years, where he was an all-star during that time. He won most improved player during that time too. Right. So Brandon Ingram, you know, is a guy who's probably been passed over for another all-star nod. He easily could have been on the team last year, if not for some funky things going on with the fan voting and some tricks the Golden State Warriors pulled a little bit there. But he's a guy who's an all-star level player, and you're going to see that from him this year.
Jake Madison, thank you, man.
Of course, thanks for having me on, you guys.
Thank you, Jake.
For all things Pelicans, subscribe to Locked On Pelicans on the Odyssey app, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. We're hearing from Dennis Allen, Saints head coach, when we come back. This is Sports Talk here on WWL.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, back here on Sports Talk, going across the pond to London to hear from Saints head coach Dennis Allen. He spoke at length today, so you're going to hear it in two parts. Here's part one.
So first day of practice out here, I thought we had a good practice. We're just still trying to kind of get used to a little bit of the timing issues and the transportation, things of that nature. But overall, I think it was good first day.
Dennis, what was the reason why Jameis was not at practice today?
Really, it's more just trying to rest and trying to, you know, make sure he's healthy. I anticipate that he'll be back out there tomorrow.
Yeah, you talked about the timing. How tough is that for these guys adjusted to the 6 hour time period?
It's not easy. I think it's a difficult transition. I think that's one of the reasons why we feel it's important to get over here early and try to get adjusted to the time as quickly as you possibly can. And so I think each day we'll get a little bit more comfortable with it.
Dennis, what are some of your impressions of the Vikings defense right now, kind of the challenge they pose on Sunday?
Yeah, I think it's probably one of the better fronts that we've played against. I think they do a really good job of, you know, getting after the passer with four rushers. They play a lot of coverage. I think they do a really good job. I think they're well coached. I think they got a lot of good players.
Steve, have you guys been able to put your finger on any of the reasons why maybe the starts on offense haven't been as fast or maintained?
You know, I think it's just consistency, and it's you know, not shooting ourselves in the foot. You know, look, like I said, you know, last week we started off, moved the ball right down the field, and then we had a penalty which set us behind the chains, and we haven't been able to overcome those things. So we just got to get more consistent in what we're doing.
Do you have any updates on the receiver role with Mike Jarvis and those guys?
No, Jarvis was limited today. We'll see where he's at tomorrow. Mike was out. We're going to, really with all those guys, we'll take them day by day and you know, I know this. I know, you know, everybody that we have on the injury report's working extremely hard to get themselves back out there. So hopefully they'll be out there sooner rather than later. But, you know, the train keeps moving. So,
Dennis, what's the mood of the team been like with this transition coming off of a tough loss?
I think it's been good. I think we're excited and anxious about getting back out on the field and getting a chance to play again. So I think it's been overall pretty good.
Is there any adjustments you want to make if Dalvin Cook plays or doesn't play on Sunday?
Well, I don't know that schematically there'll be a lot of adjustments being made. We'll just have to see whether he does play or not, and if he does or doesn't, then we'll have to adjust accordingly. I don't think there's anything that would kind of go into the game, with two different game plans. I think we have a game plan to defend the offense, and we'll adjust accordingly.
Justin Jefferson's been kept quiet in the last couple of games for the Vikings. Have you learned anything from the way the Eagles and the Lions reacted to him keeping quiet?
Look, he's a hell of a player. And so you got to give a lot of attention to him. They move him around in the formation. They do a lot of different things with him. You certainly have to understand where he's at and what they're trying to do with him. But it's a difficult challenge to try to limit a player of his ability.
Coach, what does Kirk Cousins look like to you in this new offense with Kevin and obviously a guy you've seen?
Yeah, he looks really good. I think the offense fits him. I think he does a good job with the run play action game that they like to utilize. You can see him operating the offense. You can see him making the checks and adjustments at the line of scrimmage. So, I think it's one of the better, offenses that we'll see.
Dennis, Taysom taking some quarterback snaps today. Is that just like a just in case?
Well, I think that was a little bit of the plan all along as we kind of started this whole process, is that eventually, he'd begin to get some more reps in the quarterback room. That's kind of part of the plan.
It's not related to James.
Not really. That was part of the plan, from the very beginning, and certainly he had some injuries in training camp, and it kind of limited the amount that we were able to kind of moving back and forth between rooms. So, that'll be a spot that we continue to get him some reps at.
How are you kind of divided up? Is it 50-50 or just something?
Yeah, we're just practicing.
James has said that his back will get better week by week. Is this a step back? Is this something that you guys are going to have to watch?
No. I can't tell you exactly how the healing process goes. We felt like today was a good day to give him a rest day and try to get him a little bit of recovery. And I think he'll, anticipate that he'll be back out there tomorrow.
Is there concern for this weekend about his availability?
I don't think so.
That was part one of Dennis Allen, Saints head coach from London, ahead of this week's matchup with the Saints and Vikings in London, England. This is Sports Talk here. You'll hear part two coming up next here on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, part two of Dennis Allen earlier today as the Saints hit the ground running with practice in London.
Coach, are there any unique opportunities you get as a head coach, kind of being around your players almost 24/7 for a full week like this compared to being?
Unique opportunities? Well, look, I enjoy being in this environment. I enjoy, getting away with the football team and really getting the chance to just spend a week, 24 hours a day, really focusing on football. So, I think that's it. I think that's good for all of us.
Dennis, are Elvin's touches where you kind of want to see if what you envision is that kind of product of the team?
Probably a little bit of a product of the games that we've been in. Certainly with his ribs last week, he was a little bit limited as to, how much we could utilize him. So, look, I think all those things get sorted out as you get going throughout the season. We're three games in right now. We're going to kind of let the process play out.
And as you were with the team in 17, obviously, when you guys were over here and won, and that kind of like springboard that season, went on to be part of that 8-game win streak. Do you feel like you know, a win here could probably make, would you be hopeful something could be sparked for this team, you know, with the success here?
Yeah, look, I think winning cures a lot of things, you know, so yeah, I think that could help springboard some things. But really, that's not where my focus is right now. My focus is just the preparation, getting ourselves ready to go try to win a game.
Dennis, your history of spending a week places, though, isn't just about acclimation. And it seems like you guys have always had great success doing that, whether it was Seattle a couple of years ago or London trips or even the hurricane evacuation. Did that go into your thinking as much as the sleep schedule and, like, we like taking the team and bunkering up?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's part of it. You know, like I said before, you know, this is – I enjoy doing this. You know, I love football. I love being around these guys. We get a chance to focus on really, really not much other than football. And I think that's beneficial for our team. It's just a regular week. Not a lot of tourism going on.
Were you able to break down film, like, on the plane, that long ride over here?
No, I slept along the way over here.
Did you sleep?
And then when we got here, we got to work, you know. And so that's pretty normal, you know, day after the game. I go home, I go to bed, get a decent night's sleep, get up the next morning, go to work. And that's really what we did.
Is your body sleep adjusted? Can you adjust it
yet? I'm getting there.
Coach, it does seem extremely businesslike here. I mean, what is the vibe that you're sensing with the players outside of your staff?
Yeah, I think businesslike approach. I think we have a mature group. I think our guys understand what we need to do. And I think I think we've always kind of taken a business-like approach.
Do you feel like you've lost your home advantage, or you know, does the neutral venue, does it play in your favor? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think the team that you know handles this transition is the team that's going to have the most success on Sunday. So it's not easy on either team making this travel like this, but. You know, we all have to deal with it, and the team that handles that transition the best will have the most success on Sunday. Yeah, I don't know that I see that, you know, a whole lot's changed. I think it's, you know, good for the game in terms of growing the game. You know, I think it's difficult on the teams, but I think it's good overall for the league and for growing our game. Okay, guys, thanks.
Saints head coach Dennis Allen, and what it's going to boil down to, Bobby, amongst many things, but man, it's a matter of fact, are you going to be able to stop Justin Jefferson? That's a big part of the Saints game plan.
You know, Coach Allen's talking about, speaking of success on Sunday. And obviously, they both can't feel like this is a well-worth trip. While you cross the Atlantic Ocean and you're playing in England, when you're flying back home, you feel pretty good about yourself. You come away with a win. But then you look at the intriguing matchups. You know, I'm interested to see, because where they stand. Now, is Paulson Adebo ready to roll?
He was on the injury report today, did not practice.
Okay, I don't know.
Limited, I'm sorry, limited.
So limited. So I would be confident to see where Paulson Adebo or Lattimore, if they were covering Justin Jefferson, to see who would win those battles. You look at Justin Jefferson, considering he might end up breaking Randy Moss's single-season record with the Vikings over 1,600 yards. Well, you got to go out and do it. Now, this is Justin Jefferson-like against the Lions. I was kind of shocked I read this. He had 3 catches for 14 yards. Well, the first thing you think, well, who in the hell's guarding him?
Right.
Who's
They don't have a Lattimore on the Lions. They don't have an Adebo on the Lions.
Right. So I'm like thinking, yeah, who's guarding Justin?
They must have had a really good game plan.
Yeah, or they got after Kirk Cousins' game plan. And, you know, the pass rush, you can look at all that. So, yeah, it all goes hand in hand. You know, best pass coverage or pass rush. But I'd be interested to see if Adebo's not playing, if Lattimore's going to travel with a Justin Jefferson. You still have Adam Thielen. No, he's produced big games. I know he's getting up in age. But that's one matchup that I'll be looking for on Sunday. It's like the up-and-coming, and he's still young. But Justin Jefferson, look, the Vikings have had some pretty outstanding receivers. You look at Randy Moss, Chris Carter, and all them, and you look at Justin Jefferson now, and the perception that he, if he's not the best, he could be in the conversation. Even Justin Jefferson would be even a lot of NFL people would say a better version of Ja'Marr Chase or better than Ja'Marr Chase. And look, they're both outstanding coming out of LSU. But so I'm interested to see what happened with Justin Jefferson and whether it be Paulson Adebo or Lattimore covering him, what kind of game he has.
Don't eat the cheese on Dalvin Cook missing this game. He's not going to miss the game. He's going to play. He's got a labrum issue that he's been dealing with for a while, but he's going to be in a harness. He's playing in this game. So don't eat the cheese on that one. That's in particular for you fantasy owners. There you go. You're welcome. He's playing.
So Christian, that's just your gut instinct, you think, there, or what?
Well, I mean, they've kind of acknowledged it after the injury last week. They kind of said it's something that's correctable with a harness.
Yeah.
And it's about pain tolerance and threshold.
Well, Dalvin Cook, to me, potentially, you know, we all high on Alvin Kamara. That could be a wash. Alvin Kamara, Dalvin Cook, Alvin Kamara, they both studs. I mean, if you look at Dalvin Cook, Christian, that's a cat, you know, lately ran for over 1,100 yards, almost 4.7 yards a carry. So I can tell you right now, if Dalvin Cook can run against the Saints, which is not good, we got to stop the run, Kirk Cousins will have success with the play action. So first thing first, you want to get after Kirk Cousins, but you have to stop Dalvin Cook from having an unbelievable great game.
Thank you, Charlie, Steve, and Diane, Christian Garrick, Semper Fi. I'm out. Bobby, do you think?
All right, bon nuit, les gens. Good night, people. Who dat?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.